Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Adani Power Limited Q4 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. Please note all media participants to disconnect as this call is only for analysts. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in a listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Dilip Jha, CFO of Adani Power. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you. So good afternoon, friends. This is the first time I am addressing investors and analysts for Adani Power, and I must say that I am very much excited to talk to you all. I also have here with me my colleagues, Mr. Shailesh Chawla, Nishit Dave, and my finance team. Our CEO, Mr. S.B. Khyalia, could not join this call due to some accidents, and he conveys to you all his regards. To give a brief introduction of myself, I have been a part of Adani since 2010, working in various roles over the years. Before taking the charge of CFO of APL, I was finance head of the integrated resource management business of Adani Enterprises Limited. I will now take you through the performance of the company during the recently concluded quarter and financial year. I hope you have been able to go through the analyst presentation for the quarter and last year that we have published on our website. Adani Power has kept a year of outstanding operational and financial performance with another strong quarter, posting excellent revenue and earnings growth. We have seen a superb revival of PLFs in power plants based on imported coal, high level of power uptake from domestic coal-based PPAs, and higher utilization of merchant capacity. During the recently concluded quarter, APL reported a handsome growth in PLF and power sales volume. PLF improved from 52% in Q4 FY23 to 72% in Q4 FY24. Power sales volume grew by 55% from 14.3 billion units to 22.1 billion units in this period. These figures for FY24 include the contribution of Godda Power Plant, which was commissioned in Q1 of this year. On a full-year basis, APL achieved PLF of 64.7% and power sales of 79.3 billion units for FY24, in comparison to 47.9% and 53.4 billion units, respectively, for FY23. Our import coal-based plants at Mundra and Udupi have benefited from moderation in international coal prices, which improves their merit order position. As you may be aware, we now have efficient fuel cost recovery in PPAs with Gujarat. Our plant, based on domestic coal, also operated with high PLFs, both in case of PPAs and merchant capacities, due to continuous demand growth being witnessed across India. The locational advantages these plants enjoy give them a competitive edge in this market. Needless to say, we have also maintained very high uptime of our power plants across the board. Now, Coming to the financial performance, previously, we used to report a good portion of revenues in the form of prior period regulatory items. However, we have moved past that phase. After satisfactory conclusion of major regulatory matters in 23-24, now there is very little impact of prior period revenue recognition on the revenues for fourth quarter. So, what we see in the quarterly figures is pretty much steady state performance. However, to remove any ambiguity, today we will focus on continuing revenue and continuing EBITDA to evaluate core earnings. On a purely continuing basis, consolidated revenues posted by APL grew by 29% to rupees 13,787 crore for Q4 FY24 as compared to rupees 10,664 crore for the corresponding quarter of FY23. There is an effect of lower import coal prices on the PPA tariffs realized during this quarter. Similarly, continuing consolidated revenues for FY24 were higher by 37% at rupees 50,960 crore as compared to rupees 37,268 crore. Fuel cost for fourth quarter of FY24 was 2% lower than cost for the corresponding quarter of FY23 due to lower import prices. At the same time, there is an improvement in fuel cost recovery under PPA tariffs with the regulatory approvals we have received. As a result, the continuing EBITDA for Q4 FY24 grew impressively by 126% to Rs. 5,273 crore as compared to Rs. 2,329 crore in FY23. Similarly, the continuing EBITDA for full year FY24 is higher by 120% at rupees 18,789 crore in comparison to the continuing EBITDA of rupees 8,540 crore for FY23. We have judiciously use the cash flow from operation and from regulatory recoveries to reduce debt flow repayments. As a result, even though the interest on the project finance loan for Godda is now being charged to P&L, consolidated finance cost for Q4 FY24 grew only moderately. The company's credit worthiness have improved sharply as marked by credit rating upgrades from A to AA family, that is AA minus. Factors behind these are a high degree of revenue visibility and fuel security and a lasting improvement in profitability, which is coupled with de-risking of the balance sheet due to our deleveraging exercise. The profit before tax reported for the quarter achieved a striking growth to reach 3,558 crore as compared to rupees 898 crore achieved last year. After considering one-time item, the reported profit before tax for FY24 is rupees 20,792 crore as compared to rupees 7,675 crore for FY23. On the continuing basis also, FY24 PBT is rupees 11,470 crore as compared to rupees 1,903 crore for FY23. During the previous year, that is FY23, we had certain reversal consequent to the scheme of amalgamation becoming effective, which had enhance our already healthy profit after tax. Some of these adjustments were made during Q4 FY23. Now, due to this, even though PAT reported for Q4 FY24 looks optically lower at 2,737 crore, I'm sure you all will agree that it is a very healthy figure. For full year FY24, the PAT is rupees 20,829 crore as compared to PAT of rupees 10,727 crore for full year FY23, which shows a strong 94% rise. The company has ended the fifth year on a strong note with much higher net worth and low leverage, which sets the stage for which growth plan. It is now a solidly profitable and agile power producer with high liquidity, a modern and efficient fleet, and low risk. I will also talk briefly about the outlook of the power sector and our growth plan. All of you have your fingers on the pulse of the economy, and you understand its growth dynamics and potential very well. India's power demand is also rising rapidly as economic activity and prosperity grow. In fact, as we can see now, the demand is set to rise faster than the government's outlook that was published less than 2 years ago. Peak power demand is expected to reach 260 GW this summer, 260 GW. Even while renewable power capacities are growing, India will need more thermal power to meet this rising demand. Looking at this, the government has issued directives to ensure adequate fuel supply for thermal power plants and to maximize their uptime. It has also raised its projections for incremental thermal power installation from 50 GW to more than 80 GW. Adani Power, as India's foremost private IPP, is very well placed to benefit from the long-term power demand outlook. Various DISCOMs have already announced their intention to invite bids for long-term PPAs from thermal power projects. We will look to tap into these opportunities through brownfield expansion of our existing power plants on a selective basis. All new capacity to be set up by us will utilize ultra-supercritical technology to improve efficiency and reduce emissions. As you are aware, we are already executing a 1,600 MW expansion project at the Mahan plant at Singrauli, MP. We have recently initiated the development process for expansion of Raigarh power plant, which we plan to set up 1,600 MW thermal power capacity in Chhattisgarh. We are also evaluating several inorganic growth opportunities, and we have announced progress in two of them, that is Coastal Energen and Lanco Amarkantak. We expect to receive NCLT approvals for these two companies soon. Taking the growth and inorganic opportunities together, we plan to take our generation capacity to over 24 GW in the coming years. We are highly confident of achieving timely execution and turnaround by leveraging our core strength and delivering value-enhancing investments to our stakeholders. I look forward to sharing and discussing our progress in detail with you all in the years to come. Thank you, and now over to you, moderator, for question and answers.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Puneet Gulati from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yes, so thank you so much and congratulations on good numbers. My question is on a new capacity. Can you talk about how much existing capacity you already have which is not tied up with PPA, and what is the plan for new capacity commissioning in terms of for timeline which is without a PPA?
Just could not follow your complete question, but let me just respond, and in case something remains unanswered, you can ask a counter question. The current operating capacity is 15.25 gigawatt, and as Mr. Dilip Jha mentioned, currently 1.6 gigawatt capacity at Mahan is under construction, and which is good to get commissioned, say, by FY 27-28. Now,
does it have any PPA for this 1.6?
Yes, this has PPA. Yes, this has a PPA. Now, yes, it has a PPA for about close to about 83% of the total capacity of 2 and 2 800 gigawatt. Now, another plan which CFO spoke about is Raigarh brownfield expansion, where, as he also mentioned briefly in his speech, that some DISCOMs have PPA rates, and we are. So I'm sure when our plan finally fructifies, I'm sure some PPAs will come and will bid for that. And if at all we are not successful bidder, we have, as you know, the open and merchant spot market has been very strong, and we expect either the two options is either the spot market, merchant market, or we can tie those capacity also in the short term or medium term PPAs.
But what would be your preference, a long-term PPA or a medium-term PPA?
We'll keep a balance, but largely it has to be a long-term PPA.
Understood. And can you talk about which all DISCOMs have expressed interest in signing thermal power PPAs?
You can search the Google and you will find that out.
Okay. And just following up on this, if I may, you know, NTPC, for example, already has some old signed PPAs which it will revive, and Coal India also is not talking about new thermal plants. Do you think there is enough demand for a non-Coal India, non-NTPC kind of DISCOMs who will sign PPA? Is there enough demand for thermal side?
Absolutely. Mr. Jha spoke about the thermal capacity to go up to 80-85 gigawatt, and I think there is enough scope for the absorption of the capacity which will get added.
Understood. That's helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil from Berenstain. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. My first question is, I think firstly, good set of numbers, good to see that. In terms of merchant capacity expansion, it seems like an excellent strategy for the coming few years. But beyond that, do you see a risk of a limited offtake as, you know, as batteries pick up, pump storage comes online, and excess solar generation is there in the afternoon?
We don't see
Ladies and gentlemen, we have lost the management line connection. Please stay connected while we reconnect them. Hello.
Yes, we are there. Apologies, ladies and gentlemen. We had some system issues. I think got sorted now.
Nikhil, sir, you can ask your question again.
Sure. I'll repeat my question. So, yeah, my question was that the merchant capacity expansion seemed like a good strategy for the near term, but in the medium to longer term, do you see a risk given, you know, battery prices crashing, pump storage coming online, and excess solar in the afternoon?
No, we are not going so aggressively. Currently, we we know that there are some capacities, some PPAs, bids will be invited for some PPAs and are being invited rather, I'm sorry. And we are in a state of preparedness. And it's not that the entire capacity we'll be building will remain merchant. So we'll go step by step, we'll have clarity, and then we'll go further on that. But as we speak right now, besides Maha, where PPA is already in place for 84% of the capacity, Raigad, yes, we are looking at the opportunities and we'll try to tie up the capacity in the long-term PPA. But for some reason, it doesn't happen. As CFO mentioned in his speech, that we have options to go in the open market as well as short-term or medium-term markets.
Understood. Thanks for
medium
that.
Tie-ups under the PPA.
Got it. The second question I had was, good to see the realization in the merchant market above 6 rupees for the Jan to March quarter. But when you look at the price in the power exchange for Jan to March, they were quite a bit lower than that. Would it be fair to assume that a bulk of the sale in the merchant or the short-term market happens through bilateral agreements rather than the exchange? And is it a similar expectation for the April to June quarter as well?
As far as Q4 is concerned, yes, your assumption is right. But in Q1, we'll have to see.
Got it. That's helpful. And the third question I had was regarding the inorganic opportunities that you were referring to, Coastal Energy and Lanco Mercantil. Would the company be looking to explore other big ones like KSK, Manadi, etc. as well if the process for them moves ahead?
Yes, we do. We do keep evaluating the various opportunities which are coming in the market. And basis of our analysis and the price at which they are available, we'll go for it. But nothing specific about any project. The opportunities come, we evaluate it and take a call whether to go for it or not.
Got it. Thank you. Those were my questions.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akhilesh Pandari from Millennium Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for taking my question. So firstly, on the fuel cost. So the average fuel cost payload was 3.33 per unit. Considering the current spot prices as well as the inventory which you already have at the plant, is there a scope for further reduction as compared to this level, or is it expected to broadly remain the same?
See, we have three sources of coal, actually. One is under the long-term FSAs, what we have against the PPAs. Secondly, e-auctions. And third is the cost of imported fuel, imported coal, actually. These are the three sources. So as far as FSAs, long-term FSAs is concerned, in fact, that price is governed by CI, and once in a few years, they do have escalation, but we don't see any steep increase in that. Auction coal depends on it's based on basically demand and supply. And as far as imported coal is concerned, we have seen the prices softening up in the last 15 months or so. And we believe that it will eventually settle at $90, $100 a ton. So don't expect any significant now further reduction in this. And, you know, the substantial, a large amount of our PPAs, where we have a coal cost pass-through. So, you know, to some extent, it does not really affect us in case there are any movement in the fuel price.
Yeah, I was just trying to understand from the merchant profitability standpoint. Secondly,
as far as merchant goes, most of our plants are near the pit head, right? So we have a substantial saving in the transportation cost, and that gives us a good advantage.
Right. Sir, looking at the prior period revenue, so how much of the prior period revenue which we have booked till now, how much of that has already come in from the DISCOMs, how much is left, and is there any matter which has been referred to the higher authorities, or everything is now done?
Okay, as far as FY23-24 is concerned, the one-time amount that was recognized is 9,322 crore. And over a period of time, whatever amount has been recognized in the books of accounts has by and large been realized. And we don't expect any large amount further to be received or to be recognized in the books of accounts. And there are a few issues which are currently under various regulatory forums, but I don't see that affecting us or plus minus whatever in any manner, significantly rather.
But the cash has already been received, right? That would be a fair
answer. Yeah, we don't have any large amount outstanding from any of the discounts in terms of the any past regulatory receivables or.
And sir, sorry if I missed this, you had mentioned this earlier, but currently what is the capacity quantum which is not tied up under long-term PPA, and if you can give some color on the any short-term contracts which you have, which are already ongoing for the next maybe couple of quarters or for the summer quarter.
We don't generally share this information because we go at basically the entire integrated revenue model. And some bit has been already given in the PPT which was uploaded on the website.
So, last question. When is the
open capacity right now, which is untied, is about 2.1 gigawatt.
And so, when is the supply expected to begin under the PPA, which we have tied up with Reliance?
Maybe sometime in this month, or most likely in this month itself.
Okay. Thanks.
3 to 4 gigs.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. That was my questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Nikhil Abhyankar from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Nikhil?
Hello? Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, sir, we have witnessed a new, we just had a new tariff order in FY24. So, are there any benefits in terms of cost savings? And if there are any, then what is the quantum of it?
Which tariff order you are talking about?
So, the tariff order, the CERC tariff order.
Nikhil, this is here. Are you talking about the 5-year period?
Yes.
Yeah, so that actually is the order for the tariff control period, right?
Right.
Yes. And what was your question regarding that?
So are there any opportunities for increased cost savings as per the new regulations? And if there are any, what is the quantum of it, if we have any estimate?
No, there are no such any implications.
Oh, so you mentioned.
Nikhil, we only have the Udupi PPA, the PPA with Karnataka in Udupi, which is 1,080 megawatts, that is under Section 62, to which this applies. And there we are still actually in the previous tariff control period. The two of related work is yet to be done, and after that the current tariff period application will start.
Okay. And so you mentioned about your capacity targets of around 24 gigawatts. So what is the timeline for this target?
See, this has two components, organic and inorganic both.
Right.
As far as inorganic growth is concerned, as you know, the process of NCLT order, a new project coming in, maybe about coastal and Amarkantak is already, we've already got the LOI, and we're expecting the court order, NCLT order soon now. So these are already within the thing, and The brownfield expansion at Raigarh, which is currently, we just started working on it, and Mahan phase two, where the implementation already started about a couple of months, 3 months back. So that, you know, any such expansion will take about 3.5 years or so. So I'm sure in next 3.5 years or so, we'll reach this capacity.
Okay. And the Mahan two, what is the total CapEx for this project?
Mahan total CapEx is, it is already financially closed, and CapEx is around 12,200 crore.
12,200 crores.
One, two?
Yeah. What, and...
One second, please.
Okay.
Sorry, I stand corrected. It's 13,500 crore.
13,500 crores.
100.
Okay. And so all the ordering for this plant is done?
Yeah, major packages have been ordered, including BTG with BHEL.
Right. Okay. And so, you mentioned that the Godda receivables are substantially reduced after the stabilization. So if you can mention the exact actual number.
Yeah, the outstanding are the range of about, for the three and a half, just over three and a half for 4 months, close to about 4 months. And the current outstanding, which we are, was close to around $400 million or so. And in fact, happy to inform you that in last 2 months, we have received substantial amount, and the receivables have come down significantly now. In this month alone, we have received $33 million, as against our monthly billing of $90 million.
So that's a billing of $90 million.
Excuse me, sorry?
33 we have received against a billing of 90 or 19.
No, no, no. On an average, monthly billing is about $90 million.
Okay.
And this month alone, we received about $136 million. And the inflow has gained momentum now, because initially they had to set up certain processes and other procedures and take necessary approvals, you know. Now that SOP is in place, now going forward, we don't expect this amount to further pile up.
Okay. Sure, sir. Thank you, and I'll get back at it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. The next follow-up question is from the line of Puneet Gulati from HSBC Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much. My question is on this new PPA tie-up that you've done with Reliance. How should one think about the economics of the same? Is it a fixed ROE kind of project for you, or is there a room to make higher margins in certain circumstances? Can you talk about it, please?
Let it get operational. Let it get sorted by end of month. So in Q1, we should give you the complete details about it.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask your questions. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask questions. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Bhavya Gandhi from iWealth. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Congrats for a good set of number.
Thank you.
One data point I was requiring that, what is our CapEx plan for FGD in the current year?
See, the FGD order for our all capacities has been placed now. And you know, the timeline to complete this, though still that is being debated, is December 26. And depending upon the requirement of the EPC contractor, the funds will be released. But also it is very important that we have a full clarity about this,
cost recovery.
About the cost recovery. But that is independent of that. We are all ready to complete this by December 26. CapEx requirement will be as per the progress made by the EPC contractor. In terms of our contract with him, he is required to deliver the entire, to execute the entire order by June 26 or in the quarter of Q2 of FY 2026-2027.
Okay. Sir, any ballpark CapEx for 1 MW? Is any ballpark number to it?
See, it depends from project to project, and it has a huge range actually. So it will be misleading if I say 60 lakh per MW or 30 lakh per MW or 1 crore 10 lakh rupees per MW. So it depends from project to project. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Thank you and all the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question.
Ladies and gentlemen, if there are no questions, then one point I would like to highlight from the end.
As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for the question answer and interest in the company. Before we close, I would like to highlight one point. You know, in the print media and a lot of, you know, on the net, one thing what has been reported is that our profit for the last quarter, Q4 this year, as compared to the previous year, has come down to by 47%, which is actually not, you know, which needs to be explained. Because if you look at the numbers, profit before tax, for Q3, we had a profit of 898 crore, as against profit before tax for Q4 FY 2024, which was 3,558 crore, clocking a growth of 296%. Now, the profit for this year is on a steady state, but last year in Q4, that is Q4 of FY 2023, because of the effect, giving effect of amalgamation of six subsidiaries with Adani Power Limited, there are certain tax, there are certain provisions which got reversed, and that was to the tune of 4,325 crore. So in Q4 FY 2023, the profit before tax of 898 crore went further up after reversal of certain provisions to 5,242 crore, which was not a cash outflow, it was only a book adjustment, book entry, which was required because of the effect of the merger. So this point, I thought I must drive home, the number of the profit number of this year is very high, but because of only the one-time adjustment of 4,345 crore, because of the merger effect, the profit, net profit of Q4 FY 2023 looked higher. So I thought I will take this opportunity to clarify this, and in case you have any further doubts about it, any clarification if you want, we are happy to answer. Otherwise, thank you so much for your interest, and we look forward to speaking to you, interacting with you Q1 next year. Thank you so very much.
Thank you. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.